Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown, JT Holton. Fellas, how's it going?
Hey, girl. What's up?
Hey, what you doing, big boy? I like the way the shirt you're wearing shows off your curves. Just saying.
All right. Well,
all right.
Guys, did you guys know that Tommy La Stella plays for Oakland?
I did.
Yeah, didn't he just get traded like last week or something?
Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it just happened. Yeah, back at the trade deadline.
This just happened. Okay. Wow. He's still raking though. Still raking.
Tommy La Stella. He has a name that just makes him hateable. I gotta be honest.
I loved Tommy La Stella.
My dad has called him Tommy La Stella for so long. I don't know if he's making a pun about him being good, or if
or
he
just
thinks
being
that's
Southern redneck. Yeah,
actually his name. My dad is notorious for mispronouncing athletes' names all the time. So,
do you remember when he went? He went AWOL.
I do. Yeah.
The Cubs.
He got mad because.
Yeah, he was hitting like 320, and the Cubs optioned him to like double to triple A or something, and he's like, "No, I'm not going. I'm hitting 320." Idiots. I'm Tommy effing La Stella. And he literally doesn't show up to like AAA. Like the next day, like the AAA team for the Cubs were like, yeah, Tommy has not reported to the game. And like a couple days later, he surfaces in New Jersey. and then he like speaks out. He's like, yeah, I feel like you guys, you know, I shouldn't be let, you know, demoted because I'm hitting 320. And so then they sent him down to double A. They're like, well, listen, you go to double A or you're just not going to play baseball, Tommy. And then me and Nikki happened to be at the Tennessee Smokies game when Tommy La Stella makes it. He comes back. It's his first game back after going AWOL / quitting the Cubs. Yeah, it was awesome.
Nice.
So he was for a little bit, he was Tommy La Stella.
Yeah,
Tommy, here's an Ella. Maybe that's what his name is. Guys, we were talking some football yesterday. I wanted to finish making the trip around the block. I wanted to talk with JT about the one and only Joe Burrow and what he thought about the man from Ohio via the borough of, you know, Louisiana. What do you think, JT?
I think it did fine. You know, no major, you know, it wasn't a meltdown. He's not playing on a very talented team for a head coach. I'm not sure if he's any good. And their best offensive weapon is a receiver who might not be good anymore. I'm not really sure. We don't know what AJ Green's got left. So they lost, but they were competitive. The Bengals were competitive and almost won the game. I think
that's going to be the story of the Bengals this year. They lost, but they were competitive.
I think that's all Bengals fans want is to show signs. Give me signs of life. Give me a decent competitive product to show. You're not asking for a lot. He's a rookie, but at least show, hey, this, okay. We got a glimmer of hope for the future that Joe Burrow is the guy. Because it's perfect for, I mean, Cincinnati couldn't have lucked out any better that Joe Burrow from Ohio comes off the greatest offensive season in college a quarterback has ever had. Literally threw 60 touchdown passes. That is incredible. Yeah. That's insane. Like, that's an incredible number of touchdown passes. It's makes no sense. I don't know about Joe Burrow. Like, because the year before when he was at LSU, he was decent. And you saw, okay, this guy could be a draft pick, fourth round, you know, somewhere in there. Then Joe Brady comes to town with his crazy offense, and the rest is history. LSU was just a buzzsaw. We just choose through everybody. So I've seen Joe Burrow be awesome with this great offensive coordinator, and then I've seen Joe Burrow as the year before just be, you know, decent. I mean, it's not like he's a total scrub. He was good enough to be at Ohio State. You know, he was good enough to be at LSU. But NFL is a different animal. You know, so we'll see. Playing quarterback in the NFL is like one of the hardest things you could do. It's similar to pitching in baseball. Like, you just don't know. The guy can look the part. The guy can have all the stats and all the measurables. But much the way it is in pitching in Major League Baseball, now the lights are on, and now you got to deliver. You know, and you got to be able to put it together. So far, so good.
I think the thing that will shock most fans and that they'll have to hold onto their britches for is that you can be the best college quarterback that there's ever been, and you're still a rookie when you come to the NFL. You can count on one hand the number of guys that have just started their rookie season and been electric in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I would say, the guy you mentioned earlier, straight out of Baylor, is one of the few that, and my mind just totally blanked on him.
Robert Griffin.
There you go, Robert Griffin. He's one of the few that's up there. Andrew Luck, I think he was up there, but even Luck kind of had some rookie struggles, I remember, threw a lot of interceptions, even though he threw a ton of touchdowns too. I just don't think that most guys come into the league and are electric their first season, because you have to learn how to play at the NFL level, and it's totally different than even the upper echelons of the SEC. It's just not the same.
And so much of the game is trying to get the little things down. You're just trying to get the play in, get everybody to the line on time, make sure people are in the right place. And then the ball's snapped. Like, half the job is just getting everything pre-snap done that you got to do. And with no preseason games, I was really impressed with Joe Burrow, because it's you're jumping straight into the deep end. I mean, there is nothing else to prepare you for that. And there's a lot of extra pressure on him being the hometown kid. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in Ohio, and now you're playing quarterback for the Bengals, your number one pick, you're a national champion, you're a Heisman Trophy winner. And no way to say it. He's looked at as the savior of the franchise, for a franchise that's been a lot more bad than good in their history. They've had some moments, they've had some good years, but for the most part, they've been a colossal mess for the longest time. So that's a lot. You know, that's a lot for this kid to take in. So we'll see. Everything I know about Joe Burrow, everything I've seen on TV, he's got a great head on his shoulders and is just a well organized, calm, collected dude. You know, so we'll see, because it's not an easy task.
That is not a guarantee that you'll be amazing NFL quarterback. And so we'll see. We'll see. Couple places to touch that we have not touched yet in the NFL, JT, that I want to touch upon. One is the Arizona Cardinals are, in my opinion, have an opportunity to be the best offense in all of the NFL this year.
Right? And this is crazy, considering Cliff Kingsbury was a failure in college at Texas Tech. Went to be the offensive coordinator at USC, never got to call a play because the Cardinals hired him, which at the time was a head-scratching move. You know, because not often do you get fired from your alma mater, Texas Tech, and then land an NFL head coaching job.
Right, right.
You know, like that's not something that happens, you know, often. And then, you know, he had Josh Rosen was drafted the year before, and he had said, hey, if Kyler Murray's available, I'm going to take Kyler Murray number one. He had said that in an interview before he even had the job, and then followed up on that by drafting Kyler Murray, who's not your prototypical NFL quarterback. I believe we had a certain guest on the show that said that he wouldn't even get drafted in the first round. Might have been your cousin Kent.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray's like 5'10". Kyler Murray's about our size. I mean, he's 5'10", average size dude, has a strong arm. I mean, he was a shortstop drafted by the A's, I think it was, in the first round. So he's got the skills, but, you know, he's not Cam Newton. He's not a 6'6", 250-pound athlete. He's a 5'10", 195-pound athlete.
He's Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I'll be the first to admit that I had my doubts about it. The kid can ball. He can flat throw the ball.
Now
you got DeAndre Hopkins there for him to just feed like a freaking beast. I mean, 16 targets, 14 catches yesterday on Sunday. That's freaking incredible. You know, that's wild.
Yeah, and if any team's going to be playing that that basketball on grass, you know, kind of a greatest show on turf type offense, they kind of have to do it because of how their team's built, you know?
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun to watch. Will it be successful? I have no idea.
Yep. That defense has improved. They're not as bad as they were last year. And, look, it was against San Francisco, but that's one of the best defenses in the NFC. So, for me, I mean, yes, they limited Kenyon Drake a little bit, but, I mean, you didn't really need Kenyon Drake when you've got DeAndre Hopkins just running wide open all over the field.
And San Francisco is, you know, defending NFC champions. They went 13-3 last year. So this is not, you know, some pushover. Yet. No, granted, right. It's week one. And these things usually happen in week one, and they're definitely going to happen in a year where you didn't have any preseason games.
Sure.
I think the 49ers are going to be just fine. But it's going to take some time for these teams to kind of get their feet under them and find out who they are, because these are the kinks they're usually working out against live competition that they were working out, you know, just practicing amongst themselves. So
I'm going to tease it right now. We're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but I'm going to tease it right now. The Arizona Cardinals might be my sneaky pick for for the Super Bowl. They might be.
Wow.
Of course, the other big change in the offseason, JT, was Mam Newton becoming a Patriot. And going full on with the Bill Belichick experience with Cam, Izzy as Sham Newton, up there leading what Tom left behind, the remnants of the Patriots dynasty, which offensively I got to admit is very questionable, but defensively is very strong. So,
yeah, I mean,
they somehow outlasted the Miami Dolphins. Yeah,
it wasn't pretty, but it was effective. Bill Belichick still knows a thing or two about football. He still coaches defense, you know, hey, it was kind of a workmanlike performance. It wasn't anything that blew your mind. The Dolphins aren't a great team. I think everybody knew that. I think they'll be better by the end of the year than they are now. But yeah, I mean, the Patriots won a game they should have won. Now, will they contend? Who knows. The Buffalo Bills have a lot to say about that in that division. But, I mean, I still think it's – I'm not going to bet against Bill Belichick, especially the motivation of showing I can win without Tom Brady. I can win on my own too. That's the kind of thing that makes Bill Belichick, who's already a weird dude, work extra hard. And, you know, I mean, he's – Bill Belichick's
very weird guy.
He's the best coach in NFL history. He's a totally awkward, non-social football nerd. You know, just not a guy I think any of us would enjoy hanging out with. Mainly because I don't think he's ever socialized with anyone in his life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Bill Belichick's like, because
I think JT's right.
Doesn't let anyone know anything about him. So
I mean, he wears the cutoff, you know, sweatshirt. Sleeves things. I mean, that's just weird, man.
I mean, the comp for him is Nick Saban, because they work together in Cleveland. He's a Belichick disciple. But we've seen enough of Nick Saban to see glimpses of his personality, and see that he can crack jokes and be funny, and you know, he can let loose a little bit.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything of that of Bill Belichick.
He's like a genius. You just be hanging out with a genius all day. He's so smart. He's just always thinking about different puzzles. Like Brian Snicker or something, you know?
Yeah, like baseball savant Brian Snicker is a good example.
It'd be like, I don't want to hang out with Albert Einstein on a Sunday, you know?
What are you going to talk about? Yeah, no, I agree.
We're going to talk about...
Last dance around the league. We've got Bills and Jets. The Jets are the worst team in football, and it's not even remotely close, JT. They're terrible. How does Adam Gase – I don't even know how Adam Gase has still got a job there, except for the Jets' ownership and leadership as defunct as their team is.
That's the problem. I don't think Gase is the problem. I think you've got a front office. The only serviceable player you had, you made them so unhappy they demanded a trade, Jamal Adams. The jerseys look good. I like those sour apple green kind of throwbacks. I like those. Other than that, what can you say about the Jets? I think the Bills are going to be a sneaky good team. Maybe not sneaky because they did, you know, go to the playoffs last year, but I don't think nationwide the country looks at Buffalo as a Super Bowl contender, and I think they certainly are.
I think they're strong in a weak division, and I think – but the problem I have, JT, is as much as I love what they do with their quarterback, I don't think he can win in the playoffs.
Gotta say. Yeah. You know, there was a time when Peyton Manning was told he couldn't win in the playoffs either. You know, there was a time that was, you know, so.
But Josh ain't no Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as of now, no. But there was a time where Peyton Manning was getting beat by the New York Jets 41-0 in the playoffs.
Sure.
And his kicker said, "Oh, they're soft." And
he only completes like 48% of his deep balls. I mean,
there's a maturity process that goes along with this, and factor in how much he's going to learn from sitting next to a genius like Jake Fromm. You know, he's going to learn a whole lot about football.
Yeah, I gotcha. Let's see. Last thing here. We went Jets. Oh, Packers, Vikings.
The Vikings used to have a defense. I don't know what happened. Mike Zimmer used to be a defensive coach, and they just traded for Yannick Ngakoue, and they were supposed to have
they
this.
They can stop the run sometimes, but they have no secondary whatsoever anymore, apparently.
Well, considering I played in fantasy against a team that had Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, I was quite livid. Yeah, I'm like,
I played against that same team, I think.
Somebody cover that guy. Apparently that was pretty optional for Minnesota. Did not seem to be too invested in that. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, people forget, still pretty good.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers always been good at beating bad teams, and especially bad defenses. And this time, not really any different. He's still good at beating bad defenses. and that was a bad, bad defense. I feel like Green Bay's got an easy schedule this year in a lot of ways, and so they may waltz to the playoffs if Rodgers stays healthy. So, yeah. All right, fellas, we've talked a lot of baseball. We've talked a lot of football. So, for football, before we wrap the subject on it, I want to know, who do you have, and I won't ask you for Super Bowl, but who do you have as the top two teams from each league? AFC, NFC.
I don't know my leagues. I don't know who's in the AFC or NFC.
Okay, you name it, and I will help you.
Okay,
Josh,
okay? Okay, so I'm going to say the Patriots.
That's an AFC team.
Okay.
Okay.
And hang on, let me think for a second. Patriots and the Ravens.
All right, while Josh is
the Ravens.
Okay, that's two. That's your two AFC teams. Nice, the Ravens and the Patriots. All right, trying to think of two NFC teams, Josh. I know you don't know, but I'm just trying. JT, while Josh is thinking, who's your AFC two?
Oh, two in the AFC. Baltimore. For one, and oh man, the other one's tough. You know what? I'm gonna go on a little bit of a limb, and I'm gonna say Baltimore and Buffalo. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a limb here and say I believe in the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. Well, I'm a firm believer to be the man, you got to beat the man, and so until that, I believe the Chiefs are a number one AFC.
Oh yeah,
team.
I forgot about the Chiefs. Yeah, I'll pick them too.
I didn't want to go all chalk there, so I wanted to be a little
different. Yeah. I got the Chiefs. The other AFC team, and you may laugh, but I'm not gonna go all chalk here either. I'm gonna go the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that's a sneaky good team, and that if Phillip Rivers can get on the same page with T.Y. Hilton, that they've got plenty of defense, they've got plenty of offense, they're well-balanced, and they can run the football. And at the end of the day, running the football goes a long way. And I know they didn't get off to the best start against Jacksonville. There was some hiccups in the road. But I still think – I look at that division, and while Tennessee is good and Tennessee has a strong defense, Tennessee on offense has Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Period. And it's still Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball. I think Tennessee's good. I just think the Colts are in a better position if they can stay healthy and pull it off. I just don't know if Phillip Rivers is good enough to take them very deep. But, that's my AFC teams. Back to the NFC, Josh.
I'm going to pick – I don't know what leagues they're in, but so I'm going to pick the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah, that would be the AFC. Both of
so those are both teams. AFC? All right. Yeah. All right. So those are my AFC teams, and then
you backed up and just erased and started over.
And then NFC would be that's a hard one, guys. It's a really hard one. Definitely not the Falcons. can I pick the Buccaneers? Like they just
can't.
I mean, why not? Like the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. Why
Chiefs are
not?
AFC.
What?
You got to give me another NFC team.
The Chiefs are what?
They're AFC. An AFC team.
I need another NFC team. Are you writing this stuff down?
Sure.
Okay. NFC team. Oh, the Bears aren't going to do good. The Cardinals.
Okay. All right. So you're going to go with the Bucks and the Cardinals. Okay. JT, who you got?
NFC, let me go Seattle. Big on Seattle. I still believe in the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
I do still believe in the Philadelphia. I think Wentz hasn't been healthy for so long. I think a healthy Carson Wentz, they've got some playmakers on that team. I do like the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know why. I still got a good feeling.
Okay.
And maybe I'm overvaluing Seattle, but I really like the way they played. That's a tough team, man. But a very tough division, too. Because you could tell – I could be sold that the two best teams in the NFC are from the same division. If you said San Francisco and Seattle, I'd believe it. And, we'll wait and see on Arizona.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
All right. Man, NFC's a lot harder for me. I think based on schedule, I'm going to go, man, I'm going to go way outside of chalk, JT. I'm going to go with Arizona Cardinals. And as much as it pains me to say it, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think their path is, I mean, they won the first game against Tampa, so they got that one out of the way. The Falcons can put up a lot of yards, but I think Louisiana can stay with them. New Orleans can stay with them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really like that pick a lot, but to me there's just not another team that's saying – we're here, beat us. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the Rams deserve a little more love there. I don't know.
I debated going Saints there too. You wonder how much of it is Drew Brees like last year,
Yeah, yeah. They got Kamara back. Didn't they sign him to an extension?
Yeah.
I know they talked about it. Yeah, I thought so. So you don't have any questions there. They've got Emmanuel Sanders and some people that can catch the ball sitting there in New Orleans. So yeah, I mean, I just think they're built to be an okay team, and this feels like one of those years where teams that are just solid, not necessarily outstanding, are going to do well. I don't know. I think their schedule plays into it too. So yeah, for me, I'm gonna go way away from chalk, and I'm gonna go the Cardinals and the Saints. I just think it's kind of one of those years where they bounce back. All right. Speaking playoffs, let's go back to baseball. Fellas, at this point, if Atlanta can hang on and not get passed by the Fish, it'd be kind of important. Because winning your division means you're going to get to host the first three-game series of the playoffs at your home stadium. While home away doesn't really matter too much to Atlanta in the grand scheme of things, that means that they're not going to have to go to San Diego and play, because it looks like San Diego is going to be hosting as well, possibly. It sounds yucky.
Yeah.
I don't think the Braves want to go play in San Diego in a three-game series.
Mm-mm. No, I don't want any part of the Padres at all.
No, not until you absolutely have to. I would much rather the Padres go beat the Fish or whoever it ends up being, and then take on the Dodgers. And then you get whoever out of that. I definitely don't want the Padres in a three-game series. Now, a lot of people probably feel that way about Atlanta, too. Three-game series against Atlanta, you're going to get Freed, Hamels, and a bullpen game. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a scary Atlanta team, you know. Freed, Anderson, and Hamels, if you want to put it that way. You know, that's a good Atlanta team with a short leash. You don't know, maybe Folty even comes back and can give you two or three innings. I don't know. But short series, Atlanta is in pretty good position. When Atlanta goes to seven-game series, five-game series, that's a little bit more scary. You know, but three-game series, Atlanta's in a good position. So, that being said, they had a 3.5-game lead going into the night. I think it's down to 2.5 now. Is that right, JT?
I'm pretty
sure that's right. Yeah, so they got to hang on to that. Don't need the Marlins coming up here and winning the division. That would be terrible, especially when you're playing against sub-500 teams here to end out the year. It's unfortunate. You're not catching the Dodgers. The Dodgers are – if the Braves go 12-1 and the Dodgers go 5-6 the rest of the way, you could catch the Dodgers. But I don't think that's happening. So that's that. How are you guys feeling about the Braves? Do you think they actually have a playoff shot this year?
Oh yeah, of course they do. Yeah, I think it will come down to Brian Snitker.
How so?
I think that the Braves' offense, offense alone, it'll just be a matter of, like, do they hit more dingers than the other teams? You know what I mean? Like, the offense is stacked. It's almost like foolproof. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Starting pitching, you got Hamels, which, you know, we're hopeful, you know, assuming he's going to come back and be, you know, Cole Hamels. Then you got Max Fried. You got Ian Anderson. That's three guys. And then, obviously, the rest of the starting rotation is kind of, you know, it's kind of weird. I think the bullpen's low-key really good for the most part.
I don't even think it's low-key. I mean,
high-key.
High-key at this point.
Yeah. You know, we get silly about Luke Jackson. We love Luke Jackson. We think he's probably, you know, underrated. But, I mean, he's okay, at least this year. But you got, I mean, Melanson, Green, Chris Martin. I mean, it's stupid good, right? I really think that. I'm the biggest Brian Snitker fanboy on the internet, guys. And I'm not being silly. I'm not trolling. But I really think it'll come down to Brian Snitker. I really think so. I think that if he can – and last postseason, me and Ken talked about it a lot. You know, me and Ken love Brian Snitker. But, you know, Ken, you said it best, I think, last year that last year he cowered to the analytics. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can happen this year too. I think that if he doesn't cower to the analytics, doesn't, you know, overmanage, and that's, let me just say this too. That's not just Brian Snitker. That's baseball right now. Unfortunately, everybody overmanages the bullpen. It's across the board. So if he cannot overmanage the bullpen, not pull pitchers, you know, lefty, right, like just go with your gut, pick the guy that's just on fire, the best guy, and win the dadgum baseball game. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess the good news is they took some of that out of his hands, you know, where,
yeah, they did.
Where a reliever now has to face three batters. It's a little harder to overmanage sometimes.
Right.
I do hope that Snicker keeps a short leash during the playoffs, especially on young guys.
On the young guys? Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, if a guy's cruising, don't manage the analytics and take him out in the fifth and sixth inning just because the analytics say so. If you're winning 4-0 and Freed's just, you know what I mean, crushing it, just leave him in. Maybe there's a fine line between – I know what you're saying, but
– yeah. I mean, like, if Folty comes back, I'm fine. I actually wouldn't mind Folty starting a playoff game, but I want you to have a sharp hook on him. You know what I'm saying?
I'm out on that shit. Excuse my French. I'm trying to stop cussing. No.
Well, I mean, I want to see him pitch some.
I don't want to see him pitch. I want to see him pitch like in for the Dunedin Dragons.
I watched Robbie Erlin pitch for this team, and I got to be honest, Mike Foltynewicz is a lot better than Robbie Erlin. Yeah. So I would rather be rather be Mike Foltynewicz than Josh Tomlin in the playoffs. I mean, I'm just saying, especially if he's actually can throw the ball again.
I disagree,
but. Again, I don't want him to be game one starter. That's not what I'm saying. But
I know I don't want him near a pitcher's mound in the postseason. I'm sorry, Folty. I don't.
Okay.
I don't. And honestly, I'm going to say this about Newcomb too. I love Newcomb, and I know you like Newcomb too, Ken. But it's the postseason. Let's just win the damn thing. We'll try to fix you in the offseason of next year or something like. But
no, I don't want anybody being fixed.
We ain't got time.
The Braves have two starters right now. Who's the third one?
Ian Anderson.
And?
Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels hasn't pitched yet, Josh. We don't know if he's any good or not.
He's starting tomorrow. Like, he'll be fine. Or
he's
going to
get maybe three innings tomorrow. Like, we don't know what Cole Hamels is. He's not some magic guy that's going to automatically be an ace when he comes back.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, right now we have two starters.
We have three.
I'm open to let's see how many people we actually have a shot with that you can pitch in the playoffs. Yeah,
they got
I'm
three.
Just saying. I mean, I'm hoping you're right. I hope you're 100% right. I don't know.
It'll come down to Brian Snicker. It really will.
Josh, every team comes down to Brian Snicker. What it'll actually come down to is can they pitch at all and can the offense actually hit good pitches?
He's got the tools. It'll come down to Snicker. He's got the tools.
Josh, every team comes down to the manager because that's who takes the blame if the team loses. That's the way it always works.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
When's the time Bobby didn't get blamed for losing the World Series?
I don't know, but, you know.
When Lonnie Smith forgot to run the bases, but that was the World Series. So.
I mean, for example, last year, Snicker doesn't start. He could have started.
Julio?
Yeah, he, right.
The guy with like an 8 ERA this year?
Does he really have it? Hang on, does he really? I didn't know that.
He got demoted to the bullpen after like his third start.
I did not. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they sent him to the bullpen. I'm trying to look and see what his actual stats are for this year. I know it was bad early on. Yeah, 2020 stats, 8.23 ERA.
No way, man. I did not know Julio forgot how to pitch.
1.57 whip.
Holy
yeah, that's why
crap.
They didn't let him pitch in the playoffs is because he can't pitch anymore. I love Julio, don't get me wrong. And he did end up pitching, he pitched in relief in the playoffs and was great for those three or four innings. But that's still why they didn't put him in is because he's Julio and he gives up too many home runs.
I'm just saying, Brian Snicker can lose the whole dang thing for the Atlanta Braves this year. I can see it now. Max Fried, it's game three, okay? And not even – Ian Anderson, game three, and the Braves are winning 5-0. And Ian Anderson pitch 68, and Brian Snicker goes to the bullpen.
Snicker doesn't do that, though. Why do you think that would happen?
He does that crap all – what are you talking about? He pulls pitchers too soon. What?
When they put two men on and walk somebody with 68 pitches in the fifth.
He panics like everybody else does.
See, I don't think that's panicking, though, when you're talking about young starters. I think that's just
definitely panicking.
Wisdom. Imagine if they had pulled Folty before he gave up 9 runs in the first of game five. You know, I would rather a manager panic and bring in the best bullpen in the majors than not panic and give up 9 runs.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm just saying. Keep your team in the game. JT, before me and Josh get in a full-on fist fight, can you bring a little levity to the show today?
Sure. I'll look up what levity means first.
It's the way they make beer in some places.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah. It's like gravity, except
levity. High levity. Yeah. All right, so I got a little game. We just as you're hearing this, we're wrapping up a 3-game series with the Baltimore Orioles, who I know everybody is romantically familiar with. So I have a little game. We've done this before, but this I wanted to bring up again. This game is called Baltimore Oriole or Pro Wrestler. And I'm going to give you, I've got 15 names. And you tell me, is this person a Baltimore Oriole or is it a pro wrestler? Okay.
All right.
So let's see. I got a pen. We'll keep track here. All right. Number one. All right. You both guys get to guess. Each one of you get to guess on each one.
Okay.
Number one, the name is Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes. Baltimore Oriole or pro wrestler?
I'm going to say Oriole.
Josh? I'm going to say Oriole, too. I'm going to say Oriole.
Congratulations. You both get it right. He's the left fielder.
Nice.
All right.
For the Baltimore Orioles. At least was at some point. I don't know if he plays there every day. Who cares? all right. Number two. John Moxley, is he a Oriole or a wrestler?
John Moxley. That sounds like a wrestler, I think. And we're not going stage names. We're going like their actual names.
Well, it's not his actual real name, but that's the name, you know.
His wrestler
name. If it's a wrestler's name, that's what he's going to wrestle under. I don't know if it's a real
name.
But okay.
John Moxley.
But it's not like I said... Yeah, it's not like I'm saying Brett the Hitman Hart.
You know,
well, that's always
the British Bulldog. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right.
John
okay,
Moxley.
I'm gonna say
wrestler.
I'm gonna say Baltimore Oriole.
Okay, Josh. John Moxley is the current AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh,
John Moxley.
Yeah.
Wow.
John Moxley. All right. Number three. It's either Angel or Angel. If you want the pronunciation, Angel. We'll go with Angel. Angel Garza.
Oriole.
I'm going to go Oriole, too.
You're both wrong. Angel Garza wrestles for Los Angeles Entertainment. Angel Garza.
I knew it wasn't right, and I decided that I didn't want to get Josh any more leads. So I would vote the same way.
The son of late WCW luchador Hector Garza.
I
second generation
didn't realize. I don't know any Baltimore Orioles except for name? Rio Ruiz.
Cal Ripken is no longer there. I did not use Rio Ruiz just for that.
Okay.
How about Ryan Mountcastle? Ryan Mountcastle.
Mountcastle.
Great name.
I'm going to say Oriole.
I'm going to definitely say Oriole because I have him on my fantasy.
Definitely outfielder. Left fielder.
There you go.
Or,
All right. So. Yes.
Yes.
So you both got that one right. Okay.
Yes. What position did he play?
I think he's an outfielder.
Yes. Ryans are always outfielders. It's weird.
He's kind of a utility guy. He can play. I think he's qualified for some infield positions, too. So.
Who knows? What about Shelton Benjamin?
Shelton Benjamin. Wrestler.
I'm gonna go wrestler too.
You're both right. Shelton Benjamin. He actually used to do college wrestling with Brock Lesnar. They were training partners back
Shelton
in the day.
Benjamin. I think I've seen him on wrestling before.
He's been around a long time. He's been around a long while. Hunter Harvey.
That's an Oriole, right? It's an Oriole. Hunter Harvey. Pitcher. Bullpen guy. Raised in Mississippi.
I'm going to stick with Josh and say
duck
that
hunt.
It's an Oriole.
Duck hunter.
Okay, you're both right. You're both right. Yes.
Yes.
He's a pitcher for the Orioles.
Pitcher. It's always a pitcher. Hunter's
it's
always
a pitcher.
Pitchers.
He's a pitcher.
Except for Pence. Obviously.
Tanner.
Except for Pence. I was going to say.
Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott.
Definitely a pitcher for the Orioles. Also, Duck Hunter, not from Mississippi, probably from Arkansas.
I'm going to go wrestler.
Drives a Chevy.
Tanner Scott is a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles.
Josh with a 2-point lead.
Tanner Scott. In the winter, he's just Scott. But during the summer, he's Tanner Scott.
Oh, I see.
What about Sean Spears? Not Brittany. Sean Spears,
wrestler.
At this point, I got to make up points. I'm going to say Oriole.
Sean Spears is a wrestler managed by none other than former Four Horsemen Tully Blanchard. Sean Spears.
Figured so.
What about Jack Perry?
Pitcher for the Orioles.
I'm going to go wrestler.
Kenny getting himself back in the game. Woo! Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Jungle Boy Jack Perry. You know who his dad is? Or was? Luke Perry.
Oh, really?
Luke Perry's son. If you Google him, he looks exactly like Luke Perry.
So he's smoking Jungle hot. Boy, he's a wrestler?
Wow. He is smoking hot. Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Son of Luke Perry. Cesar Valdez. Or Caesar. Caesar, however they say it. Cesar Valdez.
That sounds like a wrestler. I'll say wrestler.
I'm going to go Oriole.
Kenny's making this a game. He is an Oriole.
Man.
Woo!
Cesar Valdez. How about Joey Janela? Joey Janela.
That's a wrestler. He's from, sounds like a Guido guy from like New Jersey.
I'm gonna stay with the Orioles.
Josh pulling back ahead. Bad boy Joey Janela. Definitely a wrestler. Cedric Mullis.
You know, I feel like Cedric's only play football, so I'm gonna go with wrestler. I can't think of a Cedric that played baseball.
I'm gonna stay with wrestler, I guess.
Cedric Mullis, the center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles.
No way!
Cedric, oh my gosh.
Cedric Mullis.
We don't know any Orioles. This is sad.
I'm the same way. I knew Rio Ruiz. That was about it. We're gonna stick with the same game here. Cedric Alexander.
Okay, I'm gonna go wrestler, because the previous Cedric has to be the only Cedric to play baseball. Because, again, Cedric's just play football.
I'm gonna say Baltimore Oriole because I need the points. And at this point, I can't come back if I don't vote different. So,
Cedric Alexander is a wrestler for the WWE.
All right.
Cedric Alexander. Go. How about Adam Page?
That sounds like a Hollywood name. Adam Page. Like, Page just sounds like this fake name. So, I'm going to say wrestler.
Yeah, I'm going to say wrestler too.
Hangman Adam Page is one half of the AEW Tag Team Champions.
Oh.
Not to be confused with Diamond Dallas Page. No relation. Okay. Last but not least, Andrew Velasquez.
Oh, that could really go either way. I'm going to say Oriole.
I'm already beat at this point. I'm just going to stick with Josh and say Oriole.
Yes, he is an Oriole. I believe he's a relief pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. Congratulations, Josh. You know your Baltimore Orioles and your pro wrestlers. I tried to make them to where they had names that could go either way. Like, I could totally see Joey Janela being a right fielder. Like, I could see Joey Janela right field for the, you know, you know, Angel Garza being a center fielder. Like that.
Yeah.
You
know, Angel Garza.
John Moxley
sounds
like a starting pitcher, you know? So I tried to
100%
get it that way. I didn't want to be like Luchasaurus. And, oh, that's a big 6'5" man that dresses like a dinosaur. Clearly he's a wrestler. You know. I didn't want to be too over the top with it, you know.
That's good stuff.
So good job. Good job.
Are y'all ready for questions from Twitter and Facebook?
I'm ready. I can feel it in my bones.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right, so over the last couple of weeks, we've accumulated some questions from Twitter and Facebook because we didn't do it last week. So I'm just going to – some of these might suck because, guys, they're our followers. So, you know. first question comes from Cam over at Chatting Average. The question is, if you could pick any three deceased country artists to put on a one-night-only super show, who would it be?
Ooh. All time, huh?
Three deceased country artists.
Clearly Don Williams.
Too soon. Too soon.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Man. Oh, man.
So, also, so, Don's not deceased, I don't think. Just saying.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay. Oh, is I think
he died like a year ago or something?
Yeah, I think he did, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Are you going – do you go presence? Do you go just pure – I don't know, man. That's hard because – country music's not known for its like concerts. Like, you know, there's only been one Garth Brooks that puts on a show unlike
anybody
else.
Let's do it as a draft. Each of you pick one and we'll spin it around. That way we're not stealing each other's stuff.
All right.
JT, you go first, I'll go second. Josh, you go third.
All right.
Clearly, number one, I want to have a good time. I want to party. If we're going deceased country music singers, I want to see Joe Diffie in concert. That's okay. I'm gonna take Joe Diffie off the board.
I want to hear me some good country songs that shape the world. Give me some Hank Williams.
I was gonna pick Hank. Okay. If you're picking Hank, give me Patsy.
No, Patsy Cline. Nice. All right, JT. We'll just go around in a circle rather than snaking it.
I think he's a little overrated, but you can't say no to Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash in there.
You took it.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a little, you know, pop culture has made him a bigger, you know, than what I think he is, honestly. But still would be kind of cool.
I actually agree with that. And I, like, one of my favorite books is Cash by Johnny Cash. And I was like, before Cash got like, I don't know, like trendy. Like I love Johnny Cash, but I do agree with you. He's become
Seeing his T-shirts in Hot Topic is a little much. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, he's a meme. Exactly. He's a meme at this point. But he's still like I still think it would be one of the best shows ever.
And I'm not sliding him. I mean, he's good, but he's kids wear Johnny Cash T-shirts and have no idea what he actually sang.
Right.
That's true. That's true. We're going for a party. I got some Hank Williams. I think my next pick is somebody that can kind of dance in both aisles. And by that, I mean, I want Waylon Jennings.
Dang it. You picked my guy, too. Yeah.
Certified badass, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Give me George Jones.
Go make me cry at your concert, huh, Josh?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Really.
Patsy Cline and George Jones, man. Whew. All you need is Tammy now, and we got the whole party going.
Right.
All right.
JT. So I've got my opening act is Joe Diffie. Joe Diffie's the opener. He's here to get the crowd riled up and get the party going. You know, everybody gets some first drinks in them, gets the party started.
Yeah.
The closer is Johnny Cash. Everybody's here to see Johnny Cash. Like, that's who you're there to see. So I need somebody to kind of bridge the gap between the two that could come in after Joe Diffie plays about eight songs. He can come in and sing and play. Oh, man. Conway Twitty. Give me Conway,
Give
me
Conway.
Yeah.
I was here sitting on Conway thinking I could sneak him through. I was wrong.
I think he's the perfect bridge of the two. Yeah, can get you to it. I'm just structuring, if I'm producing the concert, I'm just structuring the layout of my evening. Because those are three guys that you would never see together. But I think if you put them in the right order, you can have a cool night.
Yeah.
Well, because you've left it to me, I really don't have a choice.
Oh, God.
You can't. you can't go this far and not go this route. So I got Hank Williams. I've got Waylon Jennings. I got to go ahead. I got to pledge allegiance to the Hag. Give me Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was supposed to play here in Macon and got sick and unfortunately was never able to reschedule. So,
yeah. Have y'all heard his son? Have you heard Ben Haggard?
Mm-mm. I have not.
Y'all.
No.
Y'all, my brothers.
Does he sound just like him?
Dude, he's so good. Just hop on YouTube and just, it's so good.
That's kind of like hearing Hank Williams III. I think he's actually really good.
Yeah.
Hank Williams III's a badass. Yeah.
He's a little much. I mean, he's a little out there. The coolest thing about Merle Haggard is he was actually a prisoner at San Quentin and saw Johnny Cash perform on his prison tour and said, I want to do that one day.
Yeah.
And actually did it. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
What was the other guy? Ray, God, what was his name? Crap. I'm blanking on it now. There was another guy that was a prisoner that Johnny helped get out, and he wrote a couple of country songs. Can't remember what his last name is, though. Ray something. Mm. Anyway. Go ahead, Josh, for your third and final pick.
I'm going to stick with my sad theme. We're just going to be depressed, you know?
Okay.
We're going to go with Farron Young.
Oh, wow.
Hello Walls.
Hello Walls.
Written by Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson pinned that one.
Yeah. You know another one, Josh, if you're going to go sad and depressed that you could have thrown out there? Tom T. Hall.
Tom T. Hall's a good one. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fun. All right. What's the next question you got for us?
Next question, and we just got a hodgepodge, guys. Some of these are a little inappropriate and kind of weird, but hey, it's our followers. John Michael Duro wants to know, why does the one major party get heat for, quote, hating science while the other seems to have never opened a history book? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do think it's funny that my atheist liberals who make fun of God and all that don't understand what a gender is. So that's just interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that it's like, I think they both could use a lot more education.
Yeah. Let's put that. Yeah. Good. That's a good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Jarrett at JSpa asks, it's a great question, guys. Charleston or Savannah? I know my answer.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a hot question.
It's easy for me. My wife lived in Savannah for a while. In fact, she lived down there for almost 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, give me Charleston all day long.
Same.
So my mama and daddy were married in Savannah, and my mama used to live in Charleston. So to me, man, it's tough to not go Charleston. The amount of good restaurants there, it's unreal.
Yeah.
And then if you factor in Greater Charleston, like places like Isle of Palms, Mount Pleasant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Folly Beach.
Charleston all
day. The other thing about Charleston is I know, look, there's no doubt Charleston gets hot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not armpit sweat, nasty hot. Because
you're like literally on the coast. The battery is on the ocean's right there. Yeah. Savannah, and you're on a river.
Savannah, it's nasty. I mean, it's just my wife's graduation from her doctorate degree in pharmacy. I sweated my underwear. I could have like wrung them and dripped water out of it. It was so nasty feeling. Yeah. It was terrible.
And if you ever been down to the
swimming pool and couldn't tell you like left one set of water and entered the next, you know, it's like
Have y'all ever done St. Patrick's Day in Savannah?
I have not. I've had a bunch of friends that have, but I have not.
Man, once you've done that, you're done with Savannah. That's an event.
Yeah, I've never wanted to go near
and then
Savannah.
The drink, or did you just do the drinking?
You asking me if I went on a run?
Well, I mean, they have like the big, like it's a big St. Patrick's Day. They do this, like it's I don't remember. It's like a 5K or a half marathon or something.
Let me ask you, Ken. So. Ken, do you think I ran a 5K and then started drinking, or do you think I just went to the drinking?
Well, when you were younger, you might have. I mean, I have some faith in your ability to be athletic when you were in college.
No,
shoot, you might have done both. You might have ran a 5K while drinking, JT. I mean, I have
that is ability to multitask. That actually happened in college.
I was fixing to say, I thought so. Don't. I'm not underestimating you. Anyway, hey, what else you got for us, Josh?
Mac wants to know for Josh and Ken, best breweries near or in Boone and Livonia. Livonia Brewery.
Okay. Kenny probably has some family that has a moonshine still.
I swear to God, Kenny, if you have a real answer to this, I'm gonna be so pissed. So for me, the non Boonies tend to think that AMB, Appalachian Mountain Brewery, is the best brewery. I don't think so. They just got bought out by like Anheuser or something. They're okay. But Boonshine number one, probably AMB number two, and then like I like Beach Mountain Brewery a lot.
Okay. Franklin County actually has two breweries.
What?
One is not truly a brewery. It is, and probably neither one is technically a brewery. But one is Blue Haven Bee Company that makes liquor from bee
hive
stuff.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's like honey liquor.
What?
And the other one is called Boucher Winery. And it's over about 10 miles from my house. I've never actually been to it.
Can we count a winery as a brewery?
Got really good wine. I don't know. Like, I don't have a local brewery. Sweetwater would be the closest local brewery in Athens, you know, Sweetwater.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But
or Terrapin. But like, Terrapin in Athens.
Terrapin and Creature Comforts.
True.
Oh, Creature Comforts is low key. Yeah. My favorite.
But
my
that's still Athens. That's, you know. Yeah, okay.
It's not really Livonia.
Well, I will I'll bring you guys some Fall Line Brewing from Fall Line Brewery down here in Macon, Georgia, right downtown on Plum Street. I'll bring those, Josh, for the get together at John D. Howard's.
Yes.
That's my cousin's brewery, so I gotta always rep them.
You're
number one. You're
gonna throw down at John D. Howard's next month. Y'all don't even know.
Yeah.
let's see here. Next question. Logan Sigwald asks, "Can Nick Markakis out of Young Harris pitch?" Well, of course he can.
Do whatever he wants.
Josh,
I mean, it's a free country. You can have whatever sexual experience you choose.
Joshua just B. Saying. Chadwick asks, "Do you guys always record in a bingo hall?" I don't know what that means.
I think that was because the picture you had posted at the time was of us at Gumlog, and it does kind of favor bingo hall.
Gumlog does, yeah,
it does a little bit. Yeah,
similar crowd too, honestly.
Yeah,
fair right. A lot of blue hairs out there at the Gumlog.
There is. Can't wait for you guys to come back and me to take you to Smitty's.
Craig Butley, is The Hunger Games based on a true story? I don't know. Let's see. Moving on.
Is Hunger Games based on a true story? No. It's about America being split into 13 districts. What are you
talking
about?
John Michael Duro asked another question.
The hell's Hunger Games?
John asked the questions, guys. He asked two questions. His other question is...
Okay.
I guess it's more of a rhetorical question. Isn't it ironic that wildfires ignited by a gender reveal party are burning the places where they claim there are no genders?
That's a pretty good question. Yeah, yeah. I mean, irony is there for sure.
And you already answered this on Twitter, Ken, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it on the podcast. And
before you go there, Josh, another more irony for your situation.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic that cities being burned down for racism are all Northern Democrat led cities?
Yeah.
Just for irony, just throwing that out there. You know,
I've noticed this as well. Anyway. Yeah. The Hammer, who is at JBay3R, asks, what is your position on the role of government in supporting innovation in the field of biotechnology?
Well, Josh, I mean, I got this one. Hang on. Let me take a big drink of water here. Go. Recent research has shown that empirical evidence for a globalization of corporate innovation is very limited, and a corollary to the market for technology is shrinking. As a world leader, has supported the American to provide systematic research grants for our scientists. I believe strongly there will always be a need for us to have a well-articulated innovation policy with emphasis on human resource development. Thank you. What just happened?
All right. Next question is from Fake Mark Bowman. Fake Bark Bowman wants to know if Freddie should move to third base and Sandoval play first base.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. 100%. Austin Riley, just totally not have a job. Just put him out.
Craig Buckley asked another question. Did NASA invent thunderstorms to cover up the sounds of space battles?
No.
That's my next conspiracy theory that I'm running with.
No.
Next time someone asks me a conspiracy theory that someone that you believe in that's weird, that's what I'm going with.
So Craig,
no, it's to cover up the fact that the stars don't always twinkle.
So Craig Buckley,
that's my favorite now.
Yeah. So that his Twitter handle is @whatthebuck. @whatthebuck.
I like it. I like it.
My
old conspiracy
him.
Theory is that birds aren't real and they were just monitoring devices from the government. Like
nice.
You know,
I like it. I like
birds.
It, yeah.
Birds are just robots. But now I'm going with thunderstorms were invented by NASA so it couldn't hear space.
Pew, pew, cover pew. Up space battle.
Jim Cox @TheBoonBeard asks, will App beat Marshall this weekend? Of course they will. Chris Nail.
He's just one guy. So
yeah. Chris Nail @PulaskiDog. Asks, what? I hate you, JT. What would the Braves' record be if they had competent and healthy pitching? What would their record be?
Better.
That's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know what their record is now.
I have no idea.
Tell you.
I don't know because they tend to win despite their pitching. And I mean, honestly, that sounds like a Braves blogger. They win anyway.
That's actually
so.
True.
So I don't know. It'd be
pitching
about
doesn't matter, Josh. Yeah. Pitching doesn't matter, Josh. Walks, hits. Don't matter. just saying.
All right, moving on to we had some questions on Facebook here. Let me try to find them. They're probably all crazy. Will Tukey ever be good? You kind of answered that earlier, but Conrad Laprade.
Josh LaPrade, says no. I say yes.
Yeah, I say no, but you say yes. It's I hope so.
JT, deciding vote.
I saw Tukey in person. He's really big, and he has good hair, and he seems like an affable, nice fella. So I'm rooting for yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope yes.
I'll do one more. Julian Atkins asks on Facebook, what do you think happens with Game 3 starter in postseason? If Hamels is decent, will he be the front runner or simply go with the hottest hand at the time? So, I don't know.
I think if you had to predict today, it would be Ian Anderson.
Yeah.
Who's starting game two?
Hamels. Freed one.
Okay. I think that's what she was saying. Okay.
Okay.
Now, but ooh, you know what?
I feel pretty good about that, assuming.
Let me change it up. Cole Hamels game three, because they're not going to go two lefties back.
True, and I think Hamels, if he only gives you three or four innings, you're more okay with a bullpen game three than you are game one or two.
Yeah. Well.
Because game three, it's over, you know, so guys can pitch as much as you need them to or whatever. Yeah. Anything else, Josh, before we wrap this thing up?
That's it, folks. Thanks for the questions. We enjoy reading them. Some of them.
Thanks. Sometimes. Did we have any from Facebook, or did you even think to check, Josh?
That last one was from Facebook.
Oh, nice. Yep. Okay. There we go.
Yep.
If you would like to follow us on the old Twitters, if somehow you found the podcast without knowing about the Twitter, you can follow us at NakahomaNTN, or you can check us out at Facebook. We have the Nakahoma Nation Facebook page, as well as a private Facebook group. Hint, please post a casserole when you try to join, or Josh will not let you in, just to be clear.
The entry question for our private group is, what is your favorite casserole? So, and I do take it very seriously. So,
and for those who may be listening, I feel it's important to end on this note for the weekend, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
John Howard's now a single man. Thanks for listening. Everybody out there, thanks for hanging in, tuning in to the Nakahoma Nation Podcast Show. We love you. Stick around. We'll see you next week, fellas. It's good seeing you, Josh. Good seeing you, JT. Have a good weekend.
Oh, John's going to kill you.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/NakahomaNation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.